Jesus said, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Aloha and welcome to Free Inside Ministry with Brother Bulla Eastman, proclaiming a message of hope and freedom. Let's join Brother Bulla now for today's message.
Aloha, no everyone. Want to thank everyone for tuning again. Once again, this is Wednesday. Should be right about the 9:30 hour on your clock, because that's about what time it is on our clock down here. You know, you're tuning in to 99.5 FM The Word, and it's the Free Inside Prison Ministry of First Assembly of God. Once again, thank you again. I know you could be doing a lot of other things, but to those of you who have tuned in, I hope that you're blessed by the Word tonight. You know, it's just wanted to give a shout out. I was able to get up to Wayava tonight, give a shout out to our Cash Box program boys up there. Tomorrow night, looking forward to getting out with our sisters out there on the Windward side. Looking so forward to that, bringing our team out there. And then, you know, of course, Friday is chapel. Pastor Scott or myself will be there Friday afternoon. Saturday, we'll be down at Old Triple C. Looking forward to seeing all of our faithfuls in modules 18, 17, hopefully, modules 8. I want to try and get into module 7. In the evening, will be in Annex 1. Annex 1, Malka, I hope to also. So let's see if we can keep doing that. And then, of course, Sunday would be our FDC schedule. So just want to give a big shout out to all of you folks that have faithfully tuned in to Free Inside. You know, I just want to give a thank you to Mark and Mary Benson and Brother Danny over at Honolulu Ford for making this dream a reality. Thank you for sponsoring our program. And if you need something that's affordable, something that's in your budget and something that's comfortable, go on down. Go see Mark and Danny. They'll take care of you. It's not going to be painful. Be quite painless, and they'll just give it to you straight. Either you can or you cannot, and that's the best thing. But, you know, Free Inside Ministry is our prison ministry that reaches out to the broken, the lost, and the incarcerated. We preach the gospel to every person. We have a passion for the Lord. We share the word of God and words of encouragement each week to those that are incarcerated in any of the facilities here on Oahu. And I do want to give a big shout out to our brothers over in Saguaro, Arizona. We will be there in a few weeks, the week of the 7th of February. We'll be coming up there. We'll be attending, a graduation in the Faith Pod. But we're going to be ministering to everyone. We'll be doing the chapel services over the weekend, my wife and I. So make a point to get there, my brothers. And our website, for anyone who would like to check out the website, is www.freeinsideministry.org. You can find all of our programs in a podcast format to download for your listening enjoyment. We also have a Facebook page with the same name, Free Inside Ministry. And right now, that Facebook page is in 45 countries and 45 languages. I just want to give God all the glory, honor, and praise, because it's not anything that we do, but it's about everything that God does through us. Also, before I forget, I just want to give a big shout out to Sister Joan Hood, who's recovering. Gave us all a little scare. And, you know, when you put the prayer warriors to the task of praying, when you call out in the name of Jesus, what some may say would have been a negative situation, God turned around into a positive. You know, she had gone up to Castle Hospital on an emergency status. And, you know, this morning, after all of the prayers and all of the voices had turned to our Lord and Savior, the doctors couldn't find anything wrong after all of these tests. Well, we know why there's nothing wrong, because Jehovah Rapha stepped in and took care of business. Amen. So I just want to give a shout out to Apostle Joan and Apostle Greg Hood out there at Life Church Kailua, IPHC, apostolic people, and just taking care of business. Want to just give a big shout out, and we're still praying for your complete and full recovery. For those of you, we do have an email address, and the email address is freeinsideministry@gmail.com, freeinsideministry@gmail.com. And that's for anyone who would like to get us on the email. But we do have a regular, old school, you could call it, address, and that would be Free Inside Ministry, P.O. Box 89253. 89253, and it's Honolulu, Hawaii, 96830. Now, drop us a line. I can't reply to you because of my volunteer status with Voluncor, but we have some of our staff and other team members from Free Inside that are able to communicate with you. And by doing so, we'll be able to thank you for your letters. But thank you. I love getting anything, and it just brightens my day when I'm able to read how this program touches people and touches lives. And it just warms my heart because, you see, that's what it's all about. It's not about me. It's not about Lynn. It's not about Robert or Pastor Scott. And right now, it's just about bringing the gospel to those that need to hear the name of Jesus. Amen. And that's what we like to do. But, you know, our anchor verse is Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans I have for you, declared the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans for a hope and a future." But, you know, if you go further than that, and if you go on past 11 to verses 12 to 14, that's something that you should focus on also, my brothers and sisters. You need to get into the word. You need to get into the sword. You need to slay the enemy with the word of our Lord. Amen. It says, "In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will end your captivity and restore your fortunes. I will gather you out of the nations where I sent you and will bring you home again to your own land." Hallelujah. I want to get right into the word tonight. So if we could, let's turn our Bibles into the book of Jonah, if you have your swords with you this evening. And for those of you who don't, you can follow along with me. And this is going to be, I'm going to start a series. Hopefully it'll be a two-part series. We'll see how far we get tonight. But it's entitled Running from God. And I want to try and get through this because I think a lot of us, you know, we say we don't really run because we're getting old, but we run from a lot of things. Amen. And you probably have all heard about Jonah and the whale sometimes during Sunday school class. I mean, small kid time, this is one of the favorite all-time stories of the Sunday school class, because it was about the man that when he gets swallowed by a big fish, he got eaten by the whale, and then the whale, oh my goodness, he go throw him up, throw him up on the shore after a few days. But you see, not only is this a very interesting story for our young Sunday school attendees, but this is a great story about following our Lord instead of running from God. See, it's a story about Jonah the prophet in the Old Testament, and I wanted to build a foundation before we get into this tonight. Amen? You see, the book of Jonah is what I call the test book of the Bible. It challenges our faith. The book of Jonah, it tests our faith. It's our attitude towards Jonah that's going to reveal our attitude towards God and the Word. Amen? See, Jonah was a very famous statesman who helped develop the northern kingdom of Israel. Very powerful, very prosperous. In fact, it's in 2 Kings 14:25, where it says that he was the one who restored the boundaries of Israel from Lebo Hamath to the Dead Sea in accordance with the word of the Lord, the God of Israel, spoken through his servant Jonah, son of Amittai, the prophet from Gath Hepher. There are two great events that happen in the book of Jonah. First, the great fish swallows Jonah. The second event is that a city such as Nineveh, a large heathen city, could be converted by an obscure missionary in just a few days. Now listen to what God says in Matthew 12:41. Don't turn there. I'm only using this as a reference, my brothers. In the New Testament, he's referring to what has happened in the Old Testament. And this is in Matthew 12:38-41. It's the sign of Jonah. "Then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to him, 'Teacher, we want to see a sign from you.' He answered, 'A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and now something greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south will rise at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom, and now something greater than Solomon is here. When an impure spirit comes out of a person, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, 'I will return to the house I left.' When it arrives, it finds the house unoccupied, swept clean, and put in order. Then it goes and takes with it seven other spirits, more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. And the final condition of that person is worse than the first. That is how it will be with this wicked generation. Oh, my brothers and my sisters, this is very scary. You see, when you have your life and you give your life to the Lord, it's clear when you take out all of the opala and the rubbish from inside of your heart. But if you do not guard your heart, if you don't guard your mind, and if you don't guard your soul, the evil spirits will come back with seven other spirits with it. So not only are you worse off than you began, they're having a party inside of you right now where you have already cleaned out. You thought everything was good, but what happened is you opened it up and you left the door open so that evil, that the enemy, can come back inside of you. And that's where the spirits take residence. This is why you always have to pray. That's why you always have to be in alignment with God for your assignment, for His will and not your will. Amen. Now, when we move into the book of Jonah in chapter 1, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai. In verse 2, it says, "Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come before me." But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for another port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. How many of you, my brothers and sisters, know that you cannot hide from God? How many of you know there is no nook and cranny? There is no cave. There is no rock. There is no house. There is no building. There's no elevator. There is nowhere that you can hide from God, the creator of every living thing, the Alpha and the Omega, the author and the finisher. Hallelujah. But you see, the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. So here's Jonah on this ship, and now the Lord's going to find Jonah. Amen. You know, the Lord always comes after that one. Remember the story about the 99 sheep and the one? The Lord's coming after Jonah because Jonah tried to run away from God. Now, you see, in verse 5, it says, "All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, 'How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us so that we will not perish.' Then the sailors said to each other, 'Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity.' They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah." Imagine that. It would fall on Jonah. Somebody's orchestrating a situation here. Somebody's in control of a situation here. Amen. So they asked him, "Tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? And what kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" In verse 9, Jonah answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Now this terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord because they'd already told him so. But in verse 11, the sea was getting rougher and rougher. So they asked him, "What should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us?" In verse 12, Jonah tells him, "Pick me up, throw me into the sea. It will become calm. I know that it's my fault that this storm has come upon you." See, Jonah knows what needs to be done. Isn't that like how we live our life, my brothers and my sisters? We know what to do, but we just don't do what we know. And sometimes that's how we get into trouble. Amen. But you see, in verse 13, instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they couldn't, for the sea grew even wilder than before. They're not going to beat God. God's going to beat them. God wins all the time. We've got the victory. I've read the book all the way to the end. We claim the victory. We don't fight for victory, my brothers and sisters. We fight from victory. Hallelujah. Then they cried out to the Lord, "Please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, Lord, have done as you please." Then they took Jonah. They threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. Sometimes, my brothers and sisters, we need to recognize the hand of God in our lives every day when he delivers us from something, when he saves us from a situation, when he blesses us without having to, when he provides for us, when he heals us, when he protects us. See, right here, these men were delivered. They thought that the ship was going to break up. Hallelujah. They thought that they were going to die. Hallelujah. They even said, "No, we're not going to throw you overboard, Jonah. We're going to try and row harder." That didn't help. They put more gas. They started cranking. It didn't help because the sea got greater than they could. Hallelujah. You see, the Lord is in control at all times. That's why we give it to God all the time. We let go and let God, because whatever we do, God's going to do greater than us, because God wants us to accomplish his will, not our will. Hallelujah. You see, but what they did when the seas became calm, when the storm became calm, they created and they made an offering. At this time, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. When was the last time you made a sacrifice to God? When was the last time that you made a vow that you kept to God above? Amen? Now, you see, it gets even better because now the Lord has provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. I wonder how that smelt. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God. He said, in my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered. You see, no matter where you are, you can still pray. Jonah was in the belly of a fish. It didn't matter if he didn't have Wi-Fi. It didn't matter if he didn't have a reception. It didn't matter if he didn't have a sidekick. It didn't matter if he didn't have enough juice. He prayed from the belly of the fish. It says right there in verse 1, from the inside of the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God. And this is where he begins his prayer. In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. Listen to that. He answered me. God answers prayers in his time, but not our time. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. This is Jonah praying to God. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple. See, right there, Jonah's saying, no matter what, I'm going to stay focused on God, God Almighty. No matter what happens to me, I'm still going to stay focused on God. Because Jonah knew that he ran from God. God did not run from Jonah. Jonah ran from what the Lord had commanded him to do. And the Lord found Jonah. You know, and that's what happens sometimes. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep sea surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. Could have been like the first walking musubi. Get the seaweed wrapped around his head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. You know, where do you find the roots of the mountains? That's like in the bottom of the ocean. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. That's because Jesus saves. Amen. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them, but I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. And in verse 10, it says, and the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. You see what happened right here, my brothers and sisters? It was upon the confession and pure worship, not confession and half worship, not confession and a third worship, confession and pure worship. That means pure worship from the heart, from the depths of Jonah's soul, pure adoration and worship. The Lord delivered him from what had entrapped him. Now, many of us say that, how did that happen? But God made it happen. God commanded the fish to vomit Jonah onto the dry land. Now you see, in this entire chapter 2, we see how Jonah has a change of heart, and he realizes once and for all, salvation comes from the Lord. Doesn't come from a book, doesn't come from a tablet, doesn't come from a prophet. It comes not from man, but from God alone, our Lord and Savior. Amen. In verse 8, he even says, those who cling to worthless idols, they turn away from God's love for them. Some of us think of idols as only being, oh yeah, Bula, I don't look at any kind of statues, the kind of wrought iron creations. Do you know what the definition of the word idol is, my brethren, my brothers and sisters? An idol is an image or other material object representing a deity to which religious worship is addressed, or any person or thing regarded with blind admiration, adoration, or devotion. Blind admiration, adoration, or devotion. With that in mind, let me suggest to you, how about if your job is something that you covet or admire, your career or hobby? You know, sometimes I know because I used to be like that. I was a golf addict. I had to golf all the time. Some of us bury ourselves in our careers, and that's fine because you have to provide for your family. It's not a bad thing. But I'm keeping it all in the context of today's message of running from God. When doing what you got to do at work keeps you from going to the house of the Lord, keeps you from being in a constant devotional relationship with our Lord and Savior. Your idol could be something that's not good for you. Could be a drug. Could be the pipe. Could be the needle. Could be the bottle. Could be the high that you get after you take that first hit. You always want that high. Could be some pills. Could be painkillers. Could be anything. Anything that you jonesing for, anything that you gotta have, anything that you just flat out jonesing is an idol. Could be like surf. Plenty of guys that go to the gym. Plenty of guys that work out. Plenty of guys like golf. Plenty of guys that go bar, that go drink. You know how you get that jonesing feeling? Just gotta have it, gotta have it, gotta have it. You know, it can be anything. It doesn't have to be a statue you looked up to. It just has to be something that consumes you. See, God released Jonah from the belly of the fish after he realized who God really was. And he says that when he says salvation comes from the Lord. Now, for my brothers and sisters that are sitting behind the wire tonight, you could be in the belly of your great fish right now. Maybe you too feel like you were thrown overboard, maybe. Maybe by your family, maybe by your friends, but maybe by someone that you cared for deeply. Or maybe it's just a system that you want to blame that threw you where you're at. But you got to know this, my brothers and sisters. As you sit on the edge of your bunk right now, as you sit on your mattress, or maybe you're lying down already, looking up out the window, and you see three stars and the moon, and see that it's kind of windy tonight. You got to know that God loves you right where you're at. But he loves you too much to leave you there. Amen? Amen. Are you in the belly of your great fish? Can you smell the rotting smell of dying flesh around you? Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. You see, for the believers, life begins at the cross. For the non-believers, life ends at the cross. You know, when you go to funerals and it's a funeral for a non-believer, man, they're screaming, they're crying, they're shrieking, because all they're going to remember is that person in that box. All they're going to remember is that person in the urn. But when you go to the funeral, for those that are believers, it's a celebration of life because they know that we're going to see each other again because it says so in the Bible. Sure, they're going to be sad. Sure, there are going to be some tears. But pretty much it'll end up in a celebration of life and all the great and wonderful things and memories and experiences that were shared with that loved one. But that's why Jesus said, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. He said that in Luke chapter 9, verse 60. What are you running from, my brothers and sisters? Is it a bad relationship? Is it an addiction? Is it just a life filled with bad choices? Or is it a life just filled with worse consequences? What are you running from? You have to be running from something because you haven't been running towards God. That's why I'm talking to you right now. See, Jonah heard the command from God to go to Nineveh and preach the gospel. He heard the commission from God himself, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. That's in the first chapter in verse 2. God's telling Jonah what to do. But Jonah chose, let me say that again, Jonah chose to disobey God. Now, I know that we've all made a choice not to listen to God, not to disobey God and ignore him at some point in our lives, just like Jonah. But look where Jonah ended up, in the belly of the great fish. Maybe you're in the belly of the great fish right now. Maybe it's Halava. Maybe the name of the belly of the fish is Wayava. Maybe it's WCCC, FDC. Maybe it's Saguaro. Maybe it's OCCC. Maybe it could be any one of those facilities. But God is waiting for you to call out to him, just like Jonah did. All God did was have the great fish vomit Jonah out of his belly and onto the beach to fulfill the commission that he had given Jonah earlier. Hallelujah. Jonah didn't know what God was going to do, but what Jonah did know was that God was and is and will always be in control. He knew finally he couldn't run from God anymore. He couldn't hide from God anymore. He couldn't avoid God anymore. He couldn't avoid the Alpha and the Omega. He couldn't avoid the creator of all living things. You see, God's going to meet you right where you're at in order to take you where he wants you to go. Look where God met Jonah, in the belly of the great fish. God can meet you right there in your cell in Halava. God can meet you right at the edge of your bunk in OCCC. God can meet you right on top of that dining table you're sitting at up in Wayava. God can meet you in that area that you're sitting at in WCCC or FDC, as long as you call out to him as Jonah did. So what if your life is messy? Everybody's life is messy. Perfect is not the plan. Purpose is. Perfect is not the plan. Purpose is. Everyone's life is messed up. It's time to get blessed up. Amen. But the only way that we're going to get through something, my brothers and sisters, is we're going to go through it. We're not going to go around it. We're not going to go over it. We're not going to go under it. We're not going to go by the side of it. But we have to go through it. Moses didn't go around the wilderness. Moses didn't go over the wilderness. Moses didn't take the Israelites under the wilderness. Moses took the Israelites through the wilderness. Hallelujah. You see, it took one day for Israel to get out of Egypt, but it took 40 years to get Egypt out of Israel. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. You're not going to go under. You're not going to go over. You're not going to go around your sentence. You're going to have to go through your sentence. So why not go through your sentence with God holding your hand, step in, step and walk in with the one who wants you to be yoked with him. Hallelujah. Know this, where you're going is much more important than where you have been. You've got to hold on to that. Prayer is the door to the presence of God. As Christians, we're not asked to bring all to Jesus Christ. We're asked to bring Jesus Christ to all. We plant the seed and I let God do the rest. Jesus said, come as you are, not stay as you are. Hallelujah. You see, you have to realize that the power of love is good. The power of God is great. But it is the power of the love of God that will allow miracles, signs, and wonders to take place before you. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. That's in Revelations 3, verse 20. Listen, I stay over here standing outside the door and knocking. Anybody hear my voice and open the door, I'm going to go inside his place and go eat with him and he's going to eat with me. This is what the scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Hallelujah. You see, my brothers and sisters, I believe many of us have faith in God. It's just that we need to work on our faith in God's timing. Amen? You see, we are descendants of the king, not a promoter of the king. See, what you have to offer the Lord, say, boo, I don't got much. I said, neither do I, my brother. My sister, I don't got much. What I do have is the talents that God has given me, the time that God has given me, and the treasures that I have. That's what God wants, the three T's. You see, it's because, as I read in the book of Psalms, it says, I have considered my ways and have turned my steps to your statutes. Because if you can't see it, you can't seize it. You've got to focus on the word of God. You see, my brothers and sisters, like I always say, God didn't say, go build my church. He said, go build my kingdom. Religion is something you have to do. But relationship is something you want to do. That's why we want that relationship with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. That's why we want him to be a part of it. We do not fight for victory. We already have it. We fight from victory. And a lot of us, we need to realize that. That gives you a different perspective when you know you already got the game won. It's already in the bag. Jesus already hit the home run out of the park over the green monster in left field. All we got to do is touch every base. How wonderful is that? Hallelujah. My brothers and sisters, remember, you're too blessed to be stressed, and we love you. But God loves you even more than that. Can you believe that? Hallelujah.
You've been listening to Free Inside Ministry with Brother Bulla Eastman. Thank you for joining us today, and we hope today's message has blessed and encouraged you. If so, we'd love to hear from you. Email Brother Bulla at freeinsideministry@gmail.com or call 222-2822. That's freeinsideministry@gmail.com or call 222-2822. And remember, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed, free inside. Until next time, may God bless you.